Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. And while we haven't gotten on many planes this year, Dux, I believe you just got back from, well, quote-unquote Ignite, if I am correct. You were up in the Seattle area. Is that where you jet-setted off to?
Yeah, this was my first trip since February, and boy, it was. I was going to tell you, it was a different experience. Not many people, everything sanitized. But yeah, I was in Seattle last week. I had a meeting, and it so happens Ignite was happening, so I stopped by the studio.
Oh, just happened to stop by the studio. If you didn't catch it, you did a session with Donna, and you did some other stuff while you were up there, if I believe so, too.
Absolutely. So I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to co-host a segment or a time slot, I guess, with Donna, since they're doing 48 hours Ignite nonstop. And then I had a presentation on the Humans of IT track, kind of talking about with a bunch of wonderful people how nonprofits are taking advantage of technology during this pandemic.
Very, very cool. Now, all that's on demand, if I remember correctly.
Yes. So people all that's on demand. My Ignite, and I believe it's on YouTube as well.
Fantastic. Well, Ignite, to your point, did happen last week. You also had the AvePoint Red Party, which I was able to tune into for a little bit. How was that? It was, if I say, magical, if you will.
Actually, it went pretty well considering what we had to do. But sure. Boy, I'm so thankful for all these wonderful acts that we got connected with in Vegas. They did an awesome performance and feedback. A lot of people who joined loved it. They made it a family event. They pulled it up on the big TV, so it was good.
Yeah, it was really well put together. I enjoyed watching that. But other things I also enjoyed, Dux, we're going to hit on a few highlights of Ignite last week. And one of them, which I'm kicking it off here, I know is near and dear to both of our hearts, is webinars. Now, I find this fascinating from multiple levels that Microsoft announced that they're going to bring webinar functionality to Teams sometime, you know, between now and the end of the year. Hopefully it'll arrive. But this is like a turning point because both of our companies use webinars quite a bit.
Absolutely. You know, today when we do webinars, we use GoToWebinar. And oftentimes people ask us, aren't you a Microsoft shop? Aren't you using Teams Live? Well, Teams Live event on the broadcast front is great, but there's a lot of pieces around webinars that Teams does not have, from things like a landing registration and confirmation emails. And then once you're in the Teams Live event, the ability to track sentiment, or, you know, how soon did people drop off? So all these webinar-like capabilities that, frankly, it's much needed on Teams Live event. I'm so glad that they're putting that in, and I think it will definitely impact the webinar industry.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, especially from, you know, our side, because we do a lot of webinars, especially even with AvePoint. And it'll be interesting to see how the whole solution comes together, because one of the things that we do is we have a form on a website, right? And then they punch that information in, which for us goes into HubSpot, which then gets injected with data from GoToWebinar. And it's a complete experience. And to your point, the live events, while good, they didn't capture that whole the whole workflow that is really, really needed, because webinars are super important other than just like it's not a podcast, right? You know, the conversation's got to go both ways. So I'll be very curious to see, one, how do they get to the point to where they kind of replicate what GoToWebinar does? But then what else can Microsoft do with this data? Because they have forms and they have flows and there's all sorts of things that the potential seems phenomenal. But we got to wait and see how the execution is on this stuff.
Absolutely. And then if you consider all the other Teams capabilities, and especially those that are coming, things like breakout rooms, right? Imagine now you're doing a workshop and then you could do breakout rooms, pull people back in a webinar type of format. And then you start taking advantage of these new technical capabilities where you can zoom in on the video. And I think it'd be really good.
Yeah, so we will see. I think the breakout rooms is a really interesting one too, because a lot of times we'll get questions and it's sort of a manual follow-up process. But now it could potentially almost be on the fly. So we will see. We will see. Speaking of Teams and speaking of on the fly, there's going to be a new spotlight feature, which will effectively just allow you to pin the presenters and just hold them there. And that is such a good feature that is going to be coming in soon.
Yeah, I also like the new features around Together Mode, where you can now have custom background, not just in the auditorium background, right? So you can change it to, like, I don't know, a coffee shop or a pub.
Yeah, they've been using. I'm curious how, if we're ever going to see kind of the sausage being made for the NBA teams, right? That's they're using that on the courts and all of that, and they kind of have it like set up like an arena, which is working out, I think, pretty well for them. But I would love to be able to set up my own together modes and just let us everybody pick and kind of, you know, mold your own. Because we're seeing a lot of Microsoft, I think even Microsoft companies, or Twitter accounts like channeling or tweeting out like, hey, use this WB Games background or use this or whatever. It'd be awesome if we could make our own. So now, Heather, this was a major announcement. I'm curious on your thoughts on this. Microsoft announced Project Cortex last year. This was a 2019 announcement, and it was this sort of cognitive, we can read your stuff and do stuff with it. And at Ignite this year, they announced SharePoint Syntex, not Syntax, like Microsoft Word tried to rename every single time I wrote about this, is coming October 1st. Have you had any experience with this? I know you're sometimes on the forefront of what's coming down the SharePoint pipeline. Curious on your feedback.
I was able to see a demo of this,
Okay.
and I'm excited to play with it. But I think it's great because now, especially in the last 6, 7 months, right, where everybody's remote, everybody's taking advantage of digital technologies, especially Microsoft 365, there's more content now in the cloud. In the past, prior to the pandemic, there's still organizations that has their file shares, still using shadow IT type of technology, but the consolidation to Microsoft 365 has been happening leaps and bounds. And then SharePoint is the content fabric of Office or Microsoft 365, for that matter. So having Syntex delivering new ways of managing large volumes of data via their new content center is great because it's going to bring a lot of different intelligent services like AI, machine learning, optical character recognition, enhanced taxonomy services to all the to document libraries. Microsoft is really what they're doing. It's nothing really new. It's just taking all the goodness of Azure cognitive services and slipping it into Microsoft 365 with this new add-on. And I don't remember what the pricing is, but it's essentially an add-on to
Okay.
SharePoint. And it allows subject matter experts, content stewards, to define and refine how all these intelligent services analyze, tag, and extract data.
Yeah, that was one of the interesting things that they kind of they talked about it, and I asked for more clarification. I'm still waiting on some of it, but it says that, and maybe you know, it says that you can define your own models to train this stuff, and it's all supposed to be like low code or no code solutions, which is great. But I'd love to know like how that actually works. Like, what's the, you know, what's how does this, somebody go in and train this stuff?
Yeah, exactly. And then I suspect it's very similar. You know, I think of things like Power Automate, right? Or low code, no code, where you can put logic in it. You can say, and again, this is just me daydreaming. I haven't really touched it yet, but I would assume you could do things like, okay, if content from docs between this time frame with these words, do this or tag it with that, right? So I think it would be a similar approach to what we're experiencing with Power Automate, or for that matter, the Power Platform.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. I think this is going to be the first sort of thing to come out of this. Something that kind of says Microsoft is really confident about this is that it's coming live October 1st, probably about the same time this podcast hits. And usually they sometimes they go out in these public previews or like these long drawn out testing periods. Now they did say they were testing it privately for a while, but it's just like bam, it's on. Like, so they must be very confident in this product.
I know a few companies that was involved in Project Cortex, which I'm sure naturally, took part in SharePoint
Sure.
Syntex as well. One question I do have is, I wonder how they come up with these names, like
Well,
Cortex, Syntex, Oakdale.
I would love for them to do have like a two-part process, and I know they'll never do this, but one, come up with the name and then immediately put it into their dictionary for spell check, because trying to write about all these things coming out, which is fine, you know, it's not a good play, it's just hilarious that you go and type SharePoint Syntex and then it's screaming at you or Oakdale and all these other things, and Word is just like, you are wrong, this does not exist, but I'm like, Microsoft tells me it does, so like you're wrong. So
It's kind of two. The naming is like two ends of the spectrum, right? Where
yes.
you have Cortex, Syntex, Oakdale, and then you have Teams, List.
Your Microsoft 365 lists and yeah, just
Right,
in
right. I'm
Spotlight.
like, so does the Microsoft Teams team create a team for their team?
That's a deep level of inception that I don't know if I'm capable of talking about. Like, that's pretty, no, great. That is, I wonder, to me, it, well, I would say it almost seems like engineering versus marketing, but at the end of the day, it's all like it ends up on the surface. So,
which surface are you talking about? Surface 2 Hub?
Well, Surface 2 Hub. Good segue there, Doug. Good segue. Dux, you are talking about what you are going to buy me for Christmas, aren't you?
I wish.
So if anybody's out there thinking Brad and Dux could use a nice little Christmas basket, we would both like to put on our list a Surface Hub 2S, which is now available for pre-order. And now you might be saying, they already have it. You're right. They do. They have the 55 inch, but this is the big boy or big girl at 85 inches and just shy, $1 shy of, I believe, $22,000. So if you really like us, you know, just splurge for two. We'll get you our addresses and please ship those over.
Or we can trade in our cars for that, right?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you can buy what? You can buy like a Toyota Camry or not a Camry, a Toyota Corolla or Honda Civic for about that price. Or you could put a nice display on this wall. Oops, this wall back here. You know, I'll get rid of this 55-inch, and this isn't even a service hub. This is just a TV back here. So
you know what they should do for the holidays? They should do, like, trade-ins. Let you trade in that screen with a Hub 2S.
I wonder how many Surface Pros it would take to get a 2S, because I've got quite a few old ones almost quite literally under this desk. Just go up there and just drop them and be like, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Microsoft, can I take home my hub now? Because these hubs are neat. They're pretty legit. Not cheap, but they're pretty neat devices. So, Dux, I hear you're talking about with a friend of mine and, well, yours, Tony Redmond here in the near future about backup. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you recall, but for friends listening or watching to this, the great Tony Redmond, maybe a month ago now, wrote a blog post pretty much talking about why you don't need a – and maybe that's – I'm putting words in his mouth – making a case that, you know, having a third-party backup may not be a requirement. Mm-hmm. So he talked about that. And my colleague John wrote a rebuttal saying otherwise. So I figured, why don't we get these two together and do a full-on debate, since we're in the season of debates, right? So on October 7, we have the great backup debate. This is not your run-of-the-mill webinar. Mm-hmm. In fact, we just released a pre-analysis video. So we'll have a moderator, we'll use proper debate decorum, and we'll have a live sentiment. People can vote as they're watching this debate happen, and we'll have a post-debate analysis as well.
Yeah, the only thing I can really contribute, you know, prior to watching this is I can tell you that Tony is very passionate about Office 365 backup and some of the failings that are in the industry related to these products. So I expect that he will come out swinging, and I will be curious to see how this one shakes out.
Absolutely. So. Again, October 7, for folks listening or watching, make sure just look it up. Great backup debate with Tony Redmond, AvPoint, you'll find it.
Yep, or you can find... we'll get a link down below on the post when this goes live too to help, you know, ease that transition over to that conversation. Well, Dux, what else is going on in your world? You took your first trip. I have not been on a plane actually at all this year, so we'll see how long I can stay off of a plane, at least for now. But how is everything else going? You're out in the Washington, D.C. area. Everything good over there?
Yeah, I mean, everything's good. It's fall season. Fall colors are in the air. You wake up, it's getting a little chilly. I'm sure it's the same with where you're at. Everything's great. It's just really encouraging to see how pretty much people have been flexible and adapting themselves to this new normal across the board, be it at work, at school. And really also good to see the community coming together, helping each other out. And you know, I've got friends helping educate teachers, for example, to get their tech skills up. And at the same time, in the industry, we see a lot of people helping nonprofits out. So despite all this, it's really good to see how people are just reaching out and helping each other.
Very, very cool. And one other shout out, which I got to give out because this will have happened by the time this podcast goes live, is that AvPoint is actually partaking in our Office 365 Security Day, which is happening technically tomorrow, but by the time this podcast goes live, will be yesterday. And so we'll include a link down below where they've got a bunch of assets and a whole bunch of other downloads and handouts that will help you keep your Office 365 data nice and secure no matter where it roams to. So.
And John is doing that, right?
Yes, he is. And so that should be a good event as well. A bunch of Microsoft MVPs hanging out with us. A Microsoft MVP regional director, if I'm wrong. Am I right?
That's right.
Dux is a regional director.
John's as well. So.
Yep. Yep. So there we go, guys. A bunch of links down in the description below. Make sure to check those out. Ducks, thanks for hanging with us, and we'll catch all of you right back here next time.
Bye.